Local and national sports talk that's fresh, in season, and FDA approved. If it's hot, you'll find it cooking with Jeff, Jay, and Kelly.
Delicious.
They don't just stir the pot. They add more flavor than the other guys.
Yum, yum, yum.
Get ready to dig in and taste some sports skillet.
You know what I'm tasting? No, I taste victory.
Right now on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
Welcome to the Sports Skillet Radio Show, airing here on Fox Sports Radio 920, The Jersey. We appreciate you joining us each and every week. If you miss an episode, you can always go to sportsskilletradio.com, where you can download our app, get all the latest sports news, show information, blogs, a lot of great content on sportsskilletradio.com. So you want to make sure you put it on your favorites list. You want to make sure you head over there. Lots of great things happening over there. We want to encourage you to like, follow, and share. Spread the word about Sports Skillet on our social media sites, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And also hit the subscribe button on YouTube so you get all our great content there. Once again, thank you for joining us here each and every week. I am Jay. I'm joined, as always, by my brother, Jeff. We've got Kelly, and we've got the coach, Shane McGowan. Shane, can you let everybody know how they can find you on your website and social media accounts?
Yeah, you can find me at www.mentaledgeperformance.ca. My social media is mental_edge_performance. How is everybody today?
We are fired up. We've got a great show lined up for everybody. Lots of interesting sports stories came out this week to delve into. We are going to start it off, however, with Kelly's favorite topic, the NBA, and how the Sixers are DOA, like I've been predicting, one and done. Don't you agree, Kel?
Could be. I was just going through some matchups here before the show. Embiid and Tice, that's going to be interesting. But Tice he's got the size to go against Embiid, but he really isn't a very good defender. I mean, I'm thinking that Richardson's going to take on Kemba Walker. Harris, you know, versus Jaylen Brown, which, you know, that would have been Ben Simmons' guy. I'm sorry, that would have been Ben Simmons' guy.
Ben Simmons.
No, I think Ben Simmons would have had Jason Tatum. So this is what concerns me the most. If Horford's on Jason Tatum, so what are they going to do in the starting lineup? I think that's kind of the question I have right now. Is it going to be Horford? Or are they going to throw in maybe Matisse or Robinson instead? Because Jason Tatum, well, we all know, you know, we could have had him, but on the Sixers way back when. But I think that's, I don't know. It's gonna be a rough one. I don't know. I guess it's going to be Shake versus Gordon Hayward. So that's what I'm thinking. What do you think, Jeff? How do you like those matchups?
I think it's a tough matchup for the Sixers. I really do. Unless Embiid can go nuts, you know, and have, you know, another worldly series. And he gets some good production from that supporting cast, as you mentioned, from Horford and so forth. I think it's going to be a very tough it's going to be a very tough matchup for them to win. Sliding to that sixth seed is not an easy matchup since they drew Boston. But, you know, you never know. That's the thing about it. But I really would be very surprised if the Sixers came out of this series with a victory. I really would. Because Boston just seems to be, if you look at the eye test, Boston seems to be the better team right now, the more healthy team coming into this series. So.
Yeah, I think that
the loss of Simmons is gonna really hurt the Sixers.
I think if you're a Sixers fan, you better have a box of Kleenex.
Yes.
Because like I said, this is and looking for something to watch during that time, because like I said, it's not gonna be a pretty sight.
It may not be. And Boston just re-signed their head coach to a multi-year extension. So now Brad Stevens is going to be around for a little while longer. He has his 318 wins are the fourth most by any Celtics coach in their franchise history. You've got 795 by Auerbach, 427 by Hinshaw, and 416 by Rivers. So, you know, he's going to be around for a while longer. So this gives the Celtics some degree of stability heading into the playoffs, knowing that, you know, he's going to be around for a while longer. And I do agree with Jeff. I think this is going to be a tough matchup for the Sixers. It's one of those rivalries, Celtics-Sixers, that goes back decades. But and you go into it and you don't know what you're, to Jeff's point, you don't know what you're going to get out of Embiid, because even before this series begins, Embiid has been nicked up. So you were looking at how many minutes was he going to be playing. So already he's having some injury history. So you could literally in game one, there's no telling. He could go down and miss the rest of that game, or he could miss multiple games. You don't know what you're going to get out of Embiid. You can't really – I can't really count on him. So if you can't really count on Embiid and you know you don't have Ben Simmons, I think the Sixers are going to be looking for a head coach real soon.
Well, I think we've been establishing that. But, you know, Jeff, you made a good point. I think you said something like, if Horford goes off, I think you just kind of said that, like,
right,
off the
I
cuff.
Said it, yes.
But it's true. We don't talk about that enough. He could go off. And we all know that Embiid has been putting up crazy numbers in the bubble. Yeah. He has been a force of nature. He has, to Jay's point, had some minor injuries. But they've been minor. But Embiid goes off. Horford becomes the Horford of the past, not the Sixers Horford. But if he is and the two of them go off, I mean, this could be really exciting. I mean, don't forget, we have these, you know, we have these.
I mean, if Al Horford is a Horford who the Sixers faced against the Celtics last time they met him in the playoffs, if you remember, I think it was 2 years ago or something like that. Yeah. If he's the Al Horford that they face in that series, then, yeah, the Sixers will be in pretty good shape, because he had a good series against the Sixers. So
absolutely.
but, yeah, I think that they're going to need that production, because they're going to have to make up for that, for the loss, like I said, of Ben Simmons. And, you know, basically, see, because the shooters, I mean, you talked about the three-point shoot. We haven't gotten into three-point shooting and so forth. And, yeah, how that really works. But, yeah, I think at the end of the day that, you know, come down to, can they defend, you know, the three-point shooters there on Boston? So
yeah, we really need a wing defender, which will take me into a topic in a few minutes. A certain player that named Mikal Bridges, who we almost had.
Exactly.
But, yeah, the other thing about Embiid, sure, is – you know, he's really – I think I brought this up last show. It seems like during the break, he's really been working on handling the double teaming. And he really is made some major strides in these couple of games in the bubble as far as the double teaming. And I would really think they're working on that. Like, you know, he's in the paint, like you said, and shooting out to one of the shooters, and I think they're getting more of a groove there. So I think it is going to come down to groove. I see a lot of confidence in these young guys. I see them really fighting hard. I don't know if you guys are watching the end of these Sixers games, but these guys are on the floor wrestling. They've been a blast. So I'm hoping that. But They lost to
Toronto.
Yeah, they get Toronto. Yeah,
that's a good game. You know, I love Toronto. How is Toronto so good with that? Explain to me, Shane, why they lost Kawhi Leonard and they're still so good. I know it's the coaching, number one.
They play as a team. They play as a team. They rely on each other out there at certain times. And you've seen that happen so many times. One isn't producing what they're supposed to do, but they pick up the slack with something else. You know what I mean? It's not like they just rely, again, on one person. They're relying on that entire team, as well as the guys coming off the bench, to fill in those roles so everybody gets a bit of a break. But like I said, Sixers are too much relying on one person now, and that's going to bite them, especially as the series go on. And if you're already, like you said, nicked up, and especially an ankle injury, which can easily get banged up again on something silly like that, it's not going to be a good time. It's not going to be a good time for the Sixers.
Well, I think, Shane, to your point, I mean, mentally, I think these players want to prove something, you know, you know, we lost Ben Simmons. Everybody's counting us out. So let's go out there and let's prove something mentally. And I think that's what these younger players, just to Kelly's point, To play off Kelly's point, these younger players are saying, okay, we've lost Ben Simmons. Everybody's sort of saying, okay, we can't do this. Okay, we're going to go out. We're going to show these people. That's kind of the mentality.
That's what you should be doing. That's what you should be. This is an opportunity more than anything, right, to allow yourself to shine like that. But like I said, can they do that consistently? That's what it really is going to come down to. And like I said, they've got every opportunity to, right now during this time, to show that they can hit those threes, do what they got to do to win the games. But I don't know if they can do that consistently. That's really what it comes down to.
I just don't like the coaching matchup right here. I mean, the coaching matchup scares me here, Kelly. I mean, that really right now. I mean, Brett Brown has been outcoached before by this coach. I worry about this coaching matchup right here. So we'll see. But, like a lot of people say, Brett Brown, is he on borrowed time right now? Is this really the end for Brett Brown? We'll have to wait and see on that, whether the Sixer owners pull the button and actually push that button and actually fire the coach. We'll have to wait and see. I just got over the wire that the Chicago Bulls fired their coach. So
yeah.
So that's something right there. So, we're already seeing some coaches get fired here. So we'll have to wait and see what happens, and to see whether or not, as I said last week, to see whether or not, these Sixer owners are kind of distracted by the idea by the New York Mets. So you have to wait and see on that. So
I've got a quick question for you and Kelly, Jeff.
Yep.
If you like, there are some pretty good head coaching candidates out there. Ty Lue is still out there, amongst other names. If you were offered the opportunity, let's say, to coach Philadelphia, and you got Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, or you were offered the opportunity to coach the Brooklyn Nets, and you've got two other really good players on the Brooklyn Nets and Kevin Durant and Kyrie.
Brooklyn.
What a bunch of traitors. Yikes.
We coach you know on what? Because
I don't think – I really don't think that Embiid and Simmons are going to last that long together. I think it's going to be one – I think the new head coach may come in here, give it a year, and then you're going to have to split them up or you're going to have to get rid of Simmons. I think that's the way this is going to go. I really do.
Or Embiid.
I think you keep Embiid.
No.
I think you keep – no.
Why would you – Embiid is – Embiid's amazing. Yeah, he's going to have –
Embiid. You get rid of Simmons. Yeah.
I mean, I think the only thing you probably know for sure, which I feel like I know for sure because I have a crystal ball, I don't think Embiid's going to have a long career. Like, to all the points you made, Jay, he just isn't going to have a long career. But I think in his short – just because, his body and being such a big man, and big men, they don't really have the shelf life, some of the other guys. But I think he's playing amazing right now, and I think he still has a lot of heart, and I still think he has a lot of room to grow. And I'm already seeing massive improvements in his game. But
and you worry about Ben Simmons and his three-point shooting and his shot-making and so forth. I mean, there's a lot
But, Jeff, I'm not impressed by Ben in the bubble at all. I don't even know who he was. I'm like, where is he on the court? I'm looking at the TV. I can't even find him, which is really strange. Right. But I want to know, Jeff, and all you guys, who's going to play the Lakers? Because I'm sure you guys heard they did something different. They're going to do something called a play-in tournament.
Yep.
So any team who's within four games of the eighth seed would have to do a play-in tournament. So the eighth seed only has to beat the potential other, the ninth seed, I guess, once. And then ninth seed would have to beat them twice. So basically a Trailblazers are playing the Grizzlies. We're pre-recorded Friday morning, so this will air on Sunday morning. So we could already have a winner. So basically, if the Trailblazers win the first game on Saturday, they're in against the Lakers. If the Grizzlies win Saturday and then Sunday, they're in. So what do you guys think of – who do you think is going to have this?
Trailblazers.
And I will make it unanimous. It will be the Trailblazers.
That's the scary team.
Damian
right
Lillard.
Now.
I love Damian. Yeah. I love Lillard. Yes.
Yeah.
He is crazy going off right now.
Yes. I think he's really found a good groove there. He had a good game last night. We're taping this on Friday. He had a great game last night on Thursday night. So I love the way Damian is playing right now. So, yeah, I'm taking Portland right now. But I think that will be an interesting series going up against, you know, LeBron. But I'd have to believe that, you know, LeBron really doesn't matter. He really doesn't care. Really doesn't care who he actually plays there. He's just going to get anxious to get back and playing again. So, and get back to business, trying to win another championship. I'm sure that in the back of LeBron's head, he's kind of looking at it, trying to fathom playing the Clippers at some point. So I think that's, you know, what, you know, the West is sort of amping up to is, you know, the Battle of LA. So.
Yes. Although, Jeff, there were a lot of people out there that thought maybe the Grizzlies would clinch the eighth spot and that they would beat the Lakers. There was a lot of talk about that, but that's before they lost Jaren Jackson Jr.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting, though. That would have been a neat upset. But, and I mean, hey, it could still happen. It could potentially still happen. The Grizzlies could go against the Lakers still.
They still have an opportunity. Yeah. So the door is still open a crack, you know, for them to get in there. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm favoring Portland at this point.
And who was right behind them, guys? Who was right behind the Grizzlies and the Trailblazers was the Suns. The Suns 6-0 in the bubble.
Phoenix. Yeah.
And again, now, you know, goes to my earlier tease there. Mikal Bridges, great wing defender. Guess who drafted him in 2018, Jay? The Sixers.
And who's not with the team now?
They traded him to the Suns for the 16th pick, future unprotected number one pick in 2021. But guess what? They got rid of that 2021 pick, right, to the Clippers. For who? Tobias Harris. And then they had to pay Tobias a max contract. Yes. We're not sure if he deserves it. But guess who could really, really use Mikal right now against the Celtics? The Sixers. So, you know, the other thing is during that time, if my memory serves me right, we didn't really have a GM during that whole fiasco.
Correct.
It was GM Brett Brown.
Yeah, he should be fired. He should be fired.
I agree, Shane.
You had opportunities to get some draft picks and everything like this, and you start blowing it. When you start looking at all these other pro sports that have draft picks and everything like this, they make sure that they stockpile and have at least an abundance or getting something in return, and not something that's going to be a high contract of another player coming at you that has even proven that they deserve that.
Yeah, the Sixers had a GM at one time that would actually do that, would actually stockpile tons and tons of picks and was actually moving the team in the right direction. Kind of slow, but moving the team in the right direction, doing a lot of good things for the team, getting some good players here and there. And the Sixers decided to fire the guy, you know. And currently not in the NBA, but, you know, Sam Hinkie did a lot of good things for the Sixers.
Trust the process, Jay. Trust the process.
Exactly.
Was that the burner account issue?
No. That was the GM that came after her. Sam Hinkie. Sam Hinkie had the Sixers moving in the right direction, was doing a lot of great things for the Sixers, taking time, stockpiling second-round picks, you know, doing the right thing. And then, you know, things got messed up.
Well, you see, Jay, what happened is he kept drafting people and they kept getting hurt. I mean, that was the problem for the Sixers is they had all these – they got these players – and they kept going out. It's like they sat out a year. There was like, okay, Embiid got hurt. He sat out a year. Simmons sat out a year. It was like all these players came on and all these draft picks that he stockpiled. Yeah, he eventually drafted it, but all those players sat out.
And now they're healthy. It just took them a little time to get healthy. That's all. Took him a little time to get him healthy.
Well, Jay, you're the one complaining that Embiid's never healthy, though.
You know?
Right.
Well, no, I'm just saying it took him a little
time. Can't have it both ways.
Ways.
Both ways, Jay. Come on.
Scorched.
Yeah. The other interesting thing about this year's playoffs is the team that is missing from the NBA playoffs this year. There is no Popovich this year in the playoffs. You know, so the Spurs' string of making the playoffs just ended at 22 years. Great. I mean, you make the playoffs 22 straight years. That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he's okay. He's okay.
He's okay. Okay. Yeah. Made the play, won 5 NBA titles, had 19 50-plus win seasons, and won 211 more regular season games than any other NBA franchise. Outstanding run by Pop. Is he losing things a little bit, do you think, or is it just the team that they surrounded him with? What do you think, Cal?
Oh, I think it was just, you know, especially with the bubble, anything's going to happen. I mean.
Right.
It's.
But I do believe losing Kawhi Leonard, and that kind of bunch, you know, kind of took something out of that team. But
although he didn't really play that last year. He didn't really play that last year. He was like in a locker room and.
Right.
It was
right.
Like a bad chemistry.
Right.
Yeah, there was like a weird chemistry with all those players that year.
But they've had some issues, obviously. They've had some retirements going on, and so that franchise is, you know, so it's had its, you know, I don't want to say they're rebuilding, because, you know, under Pop they kind of always are in the mix, and they were in the mix again this year. So it's just, you know, like I said, they just didn't click in the bubble. I think Kelly's right. Just, you know, for whatever reason, they just didn't click, you know, in there. And he winds up on the outside. But, you know, a hell of a coach. And I'm sure that, you know, we'll have that team back up and running in 2021. So
he gives the best post-game interviews, doesn't he?
Oh, he does.
Halftime interviews. Yeah.
No, I'm going to miss that, yes.
Yeah.
I thought Jay was saying just one team missed. I thought he was going to say the New York Knicks. But, you know.
Well, they could be back next year.
We got a head coach now, so, you know, I mean, that's something. So
that's a step in the right direction, you know.
Yes.
But Kel, if the Sixers go out in the first round to Boston and Miami beats the Indiana Pacers, you think the Sixers fans are going to be a little, I don't know, uptight is a word, but have a little angst about seeing Jimmy Butler in the second round?
Oh, it's just, it hurts my heart all the time whenever I see him, actually. I mean, I miss JJ too, but I actually kind of like his replacements on the Sixers. Although I think his replacement is technically Korkmaz. So some days I love it, some days I hate it. They call him the sniper. So, but I mean, Korkmaz, he's somebody, yes. Korkmaz. Yeah, he is somebody that like will go on a run. Well, he will just go on a run and be out of control. He will create his own shot. He'll be running all over the place. But that is hard for me to talk about how much I miss Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy was just amazing. It was just a personality thing. Maybe Shane can speak too, but he didn't like, I don't think he liked it here at all. They don't think he liked the players. I don't know.
No.
Just maybe he knew something we didn't. I don't know.
Yeah, he's in the locker room with everybody. That's what he knew.
Something about the coach or the coaching, or maybe something that we haven't talked about that he didn't like. Because he's an experienced guy.
I got a feeling in many ways he didn't like how the system was played. And that again, comes down to the coaches. And if you've got the same guys that are just following along, like you know, you're supposed to, I get that. But again, I don't think he trusts the process. He didn't trust where the direction that the coach is trying to go, and the players were not maybe executing the way that they should. And then again, I mean, he wants the ball like anyone else, right? There are times when he wasn't getting it, and he was getting more frustrated too. And he just let that carry on. And then finally, I think the maturity of him still was a little bit in question. of Wells saying, listen, you know what I mean? I get where we got to play. I get what my role is too and everything like that. But I think he'd get more frustrated and let it carry over because there are many times when he'd sit on that bench after and he just had that pouty look on his face.
Oh, especially against Toronto, Shane. I mean, exactly. You can see in that Toronto series.
You know.
Yeah, but, he was not happy at times in that series, the way things were going.
And as a player, you've got this own thing inside of you of wanting to make something happen out there. You want to shine. You want to be that star. You want everything like this. And when he wasn't getting that, I think that really in some ways affected him in which he's just like, you know what, I'm not going to get anywhere here. And I don't see anything happening the way I thought it would. Just like what he did when he was with Chicago too, though. He was like that in many ways. So I think it just kind of follows with him. If Jimmy is not happy, Jimmy pouts.
Yeah. And he knows immediately if he's comfortable somewhere. Like he was done within 24 hours, I feel. Maybe a couple games in. He had those clutch plays in the first couple games and Philadelphia was loving him. But then like everything just soured, I feel like, overnight.
And he was done. With that too, I mean, really, the supporting help wasn't there. He didn't have the support at times, right? And so that just becomes of saying, well, I can't carry the team by myself. That's the same thing as what I just left Chicago for.
Right.
Yep.
That's a really good point.
I know. This is my job. I know it's my
that's
point.
That's right. And I think the Sixers could use a Jimmy Butler. I mean, attitude-wise, but I'm saying, like, player-wise, Sixers could use a Jimmy Butler on their team right about now, you know, to help their playoff.
Well, I think
not to Kelly's point, but yeah, yeah. I like, you know, Korkmaz has done well. I mean, I think, you know, he goes on runs and he does well. So I don't think, you know, they got totally shafted there with what, you know, the return for Jimmy Buckets. But, you know, as far as his replacements go, as far as the replacements for Jimmy Buckets, but, yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's sort of that spark to go into that huddle and sort of, you know, light a fire under this team at some points. I mean, you like to see him be kind of do that, but he's just not that type of player that I've seen to actually go into that huddle. It's sort of like LeBron or sort of like Kawhi Leonard at times to sort of light a fire sometimes under the players and sort of get them going when they need to, you know, sort of give them a kick in the butt.
Michael Jordan, right? The Michael Jordan.
And yeah. Michael Jordan effect,
yeah.
Yes.
By the way, I think Korkmaz was more J.J. Redick's kind of replacement for the shooting. But that's exactly, I think, what is bothering me about Ben is, you know, I see this great talent. This athleticism is through the roof. And he's still one of the greatest defenders in the NBA. But he's so quiet within himself. And he's not like encouraging the other guys. Like I picture Jimmy Butler, you know, saying just getting in their faces or
exactly.
just really just leading and demanding the best from them every single day. I mean, every game in this bubble is really a live or die game. It, you know, it's like every game counted to whether or not you were going to advance. And like I said, you see some teams that rose. I mean, the Suns, again, 6-0, even though they didn't have the greatest season, 6-0. There's somebody to look out for. But I have kind of a fun question for you guys to answer.
Sure.
You can answer it through the show or now. But I want to know, when you guys were teenagers, what was your favorite sports jersey that you would wear around town?
Bo Jackson.
Okay.
I'm a Raider diehard, so what can
you
I say?
You are.
I was always a hockey fan, so when the Rangers got Richter, that was my guy. So, you know, I would have to say Mike Richter, and you know, it was just, you know, the most tremendous thing when they won the cup. So, I mean, that was electric. So, with Keenan and company, so. You know, former Philly coach, obviously, but yeah, I mean, that was just an electric season. I could go Messier, but Richter was my guy there. But because everybody tends to look at that team and go through Messier, but that team wouldn't have been there without that guy in goal and Mike Richter. So, you know, I say Richter.
With me, I would have to say Eric Lindros, because the Philadelphia Flyer, not only was he a good player, not only was he an outstanding athlete on the Philadelphia Flyers, one of the guys of the Legion of Doom line on the Flyers, eventually got to interview Eric Lindros, but the fact that the Flyers stole him from the New York Rangers added a little bit of juice to it. So I enjoyed that. So Eric Lindros, followed really closely by Tug McGraw.
We got Lindros back. We got Lindros back.
Eventually, so, you know. Yes, that's true. I will say that. But, followed very closely by Tug McGraw. I've always loved Tug McGraw. Thought he was one of the most energetic Phillies of all time. Got the final out of the 80 World Series. I always loved the Tugger when he pitched. So those two were kind of my guys.
You know, he and his son, Tim, eventually, he sort of denied Tim McGraw was his son, you know, the country music singer. But Tim evidently started taking care of him, like, just in his final days. He was with his son. How ironic is that? He forgave his dad. His dad was a jerk to him. Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is when the Phillies were in their last World Series that they eventually won in 08, Tim McGraw went out to the mound and actually dumped a little bit of Tug's ashes on the mound at Citizens Bank Park when he went out there to throw the first pitch before one of the World Series games. So I thought that was a nice tribute, too.
Yeah, definitely.
But we are going to take a brief time out. When we come back in about 30 seconds or so, what else is hot right now? The NHL playoffs. So we are going to get into that. So stay tuned. We got the NHL playoffs on the way.
You're listening to the Sports Skillet Radio Show, cooking up all the hot takes. Jump in and join us at 609-919-9200. Download our app at sportskilletradio.com. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching for Sports Skillet. And remember to show us some love, like, follow, and share.
All right, and we are back, and we are talking the NHL playoffs. I came out last week. I said the Flyers were going to be a hot team. I said the Flyers were going to be a dominant team. I said, look out for the Flyers. Got a little bit of pushback on the show last week, but the Flyers came out, showed up, did decently against those Montreal Canadiens. Guys, what did you think about the Flyers' first game against those Montreal Canadiens?
They got lucky. They did not.
They did not shit.
those goals were just like, whatever. There's nothing fancy about that. You know what I mean? They got lucky. Montreal's sitting there going, we had them. We should have took advantage of it. That's our fault. That's what Montreal's saying right now.
Any comments?
And we'll see tonight, you know, in game two, what happens. But, yeah, I'll say this. I mean, it's ironic for the Flyers right now because they've been searching for a goalie for it seems like forever to replace Ekstall. I mean, that's been, you know, just the storyline throughout, you know, all these
Bernie
years.
Bernie Parent, really.
Bernie Parent, even Bernie Parent. But, you know, Ron Ekstall wasn't a bad goalie. I mean, I'll say that for him. I mean, he was the last really good goalie that, you know, that you look at if you're a Flyer fan. And you know, now they have that guy now in goal. So, but they got to continue to develop him. But Carter looks like, you know, he's the real deal out there. He certainly stood on his head in game one. We'll see how he fares the rest of the series because Montreal is proven to be a pretty good team in this bubble. I mean, they seem to have things going, you know, through that, you know, to get where they obviously to get in. But now, you know, obviously facing Philly, I think this is going to be an interesting test because Philly obviously played very well in the round robin, and you know, they didn't lose a game.
Who's
and,
the number one seed?
That would be Philly.
Thank you.
But you know, look, look, I credit them. They beat Tampa. I give them credit for that. You know, that's the way it goes. And Tampa right now has their – I'm looking at this series, and it's an incredible series right now, because that series right now, five overtimes, you know, in game okay. one for Tampa to pull that game out. Just incredible. Just an incredible stamina game for both those clubs. And to come back and obviously tie after losing – yeah, that game to come back and actually tie up the series. That series is going to be a long series. That could go six or seven games, quite honestly. And it'll be interesting to see if Tampa can prevail. So, and again, you know, we don't know. I mean, that's what I said. This is going to be kind of a Wild West kind of thing, because I really don't know, you know, in the East, you know, right now, who to like, you know.
Philadelphia.
It could be. I mean, but you know what? Don't count out those Canadiens out there. I'm telling you right now, don't count them out. So, and the West, I picked my Vegas Golden Knights, and they look pretty good right now. They're up 2-0. So, you know, we'll see what happens with Vegas going forward as the number one seed. But there's some competition out West, obviously, right now. So, I mean, incredible game last night with Calgary. I mean, that was incredible. I mean, that was just, you know, off the charts. So you got some of these Canadian teams. I mean, in Shane's area, you know, in Shane's neck of the woods. I mean, Canadian teams right there that are trying to make some noise in these playoffs. So we'll see what happens.
Well, like I said, out east, you still got to worry about Boston. He's got Carolina.
Right.
Those teams are just as tough. I mean, and if Philly makes it past Montreal, you still got a few other teams you got to get through out there to still get into the cup. So, like I said, either way, it's not going to be easy. And you
and
know,
Carey Price is bumming upset over those goals, Shane. Carey Price is looking at that saying, how did those goals go?
Exactly, right? You know what I mean? This again, is probably one of Carey Price's best as a goaltender. Right now, he's playing one of his best. And I think winning against Pittsburgh definitely showed – he is still that top goaltender, and he's got something to prove. He really does. He's got something to prove, and that's what he's going to do. Now, yes, the game they lost 2-1, but it was far from some blowout, and they weren't outmatched, really, when you watch that entire game. So, like I said, I think Philly went back and said, ooh, we snuck one. We got lucky. That's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to say about Philly. They're going to sit back and go, we got lucky. And you know what? They should think like that. Because if they think that they went in there and just aced this game.
No, I agree with you there, Shane. I think that the tempo and I think the resiliency, I'll say, about the Canadians kind of surprised the Flyers. Because the Flyers have been cruising up to this point. And now, you know, they're facing this Canadian team. I think overall, you look at the Flyers, and the Flyers overall are a better team than the Canadians. But the Canadians are showing a lot of resiliency. They keep coming. They keep coming. They keep coming. They keep coming. And they don't really give an inch. But I think talent-wise, the Flyers are the better team. But you look at the two goaltenders, and – Carter Hart right now is extremely hot, but Carey Price, who, by the way, Carter Hart kind of looked up to and patterned his career after, is also a very good goaltender. So it's a very good matchup between the two teams. I just think that the Flyers, just their balanced scoring, their coaching, everything is going to put them over top of the Canadians.
So it's what you're saying, Jay, is you like that old Ranger coach over there in Philly? Come on.
I can't argue. He's getting results. You look at it, you know, when was the last time you remember a Flyers loss? They've been cruising. They picked up. Flyers, before they got shut down due to the COVID-19, the Flyers were, if not the hottest team in the NFL, probably in the top two or three. And they picked, once this bubble thing got started, they picked up right where they left off. They haven't let up a bit, which is a credit to the coaching staff and a credit to the team. They haven't let up too much at all. since then. And the Flyers rightfully earned the number one seed in the conference. So they're going to be – right now, the Flyers in the Eastern Conference, number one seed. They're the team to beat until another team rises up and shows me that they're better than the Philadelphia Flyers.
Just remember, Jay, there was a lot of critique in New York over this head coach, the former coach of the Rangers. I mean, there was a lot of back. There's a reason why he was fired up there in New York. He took a lot of heat up there. There was a lot of, well, you know, this guy can't win the big one. This guy can't get it done, you know, in the series, you know. And, you know, he had players, you know, with the Rangers. So it'll be – I'm interested to see, you know, if this guy can sort of, you know, prove all those, you know, writers up in New York wrong and actually win, you know, win the cup, you know, down there in Philly. But, you know, there's a reason there is a reason why, you know, he got fired up there in New York. So just keep that in mind.
Oh, no doubt. There's a reason why every coach got fired. There's a reason why there's a reason why Andy Reid got fired from the Philadelphia Eagles. Because he couldn't win the big one. Goes to Kansas City, wins a Super Bowl. You know, there's always a reason why these coaches get fired, you know.
But did he go to Kansas City and have a better team?
Yeah, he probably did.
Well, that also helps, you know what I mean? So there's a little bit of that as well too. So
with a pretty good quarterback, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He's okay.
He's okay. Hey, Jay, speaking of Eagles, did you see the latest story that, you know, there was some, I don't know, mixed messaging about large groups in Philadelphia and large gatherings, how, of course, they're not allowed, but it didn't apply to sports. And then, like, now we just heard it's probably not going to happen at that first Eagles game, home game.
Yeah.
So probably no fans. Yeah.
And see, that's an interesting thing that you bring up, Kel, because now you've got the Washington football team said they're not going to have any fans in their home games, but you also have the Cowboys, the Patriots saying they're working on a quote-unquote pod system. That's probably going to be the new buzzword in the NFL system of attendance this year. And the system that appears to have the most traction across the league for teams that hope to include fan attendance. So the goal is moving toward finding clusters of people who have made a decision to cluster together while masking up and distance the clusters from one another in the stadium. So basically you'd have, like, I guess, a plexiglass thing set up. Fans would be in that.
What could go wrong here, Shane?
What could go wrong there? You know?
Yeah.
And the Cowboys are kind of leading the charge, I guess, because Jerry Jones said he was going to have fans in his stadium. I mean, to me, that's I know you want to get fans in there. You want to get things up and going. But until it's really safe, I don't think you can have fans in there. I really don't.
Vegetables. Okay. I got it. you cannot. You're watching the NBA, you're watching NHL do it without fans.
Yep.
They're having success. They're having very good success out there. TV revenue, everything like that is working for them. The way they've got the games all played out, planned out, everything like that. Why then do you want to be the hero like Jerry Jones and think that you can bring in fans, that you need to do that to also, I hate to say it, but that's Jerry Jones's bread and basket, is that he wants to sell out his AT&T stadium and make it be the biggest thing as a big bubble itself, and just appease to everybody and say, listen, don't give up your season tickets. Don't do this. We need you. You're our part of this, and we're going to get you involved. He's already talking about doing crazy carnival things there for these fans as well. I mean, he's just the guy just does not think before he speaks, and this is going to get him in trouble. But when you look at the teams that have said, no, we can't do this without fans or with fans, so we're going to just X-nay from that, to me is also showing more respect for only the health and safety of everybody, which they should be doing, you know, and they're giving themselves a little bit more credibility of saying we want to have games played. But as soon as you start doing something, you start bringing people into these stadiums, you have an, I hate to say it, but there's a chance that something's going to fail. And to me, I don't give a crap. You bring in 30 of your best friends or whatever else it is. It just takes one, and that's all it is. And like I said, for them to even consider something like that, to me, is just arrogance. That's just terrible arrogance right there.
It's arrogant. Exactly. I agree with Shane. It's total and complete arrogance on the part of some of these owners. It's a money grab. I mean, that's what it is for these owners, is they want to do that. And they put that ahead of the health of the fans and so forth. That's just, to me, very wrong. I mean, that's just, you know, not the way it should be. And if they're watching, you know, the now the NBA, you know, NBA has come out and they're allowing, you know, they're relaxing some of their rules because they're allowing some of the players to have, you know, during the playoffs, to have a fan or to have somebody come in. It can't be anybody they don't know or anybody like that, but they can bring in somebody into the bubble. And I'm like, why mess with what's been working? You know, it's been working. Why mess with it? Why do it? You know, I in the NBA is, you know, kind of teetering here on something, because, you know, you had it work. I mean, everything is working. Everybody is testing negative. Keep it the way it is. Keep it going. You know, that's what you want at this point. And, you know, you look at Major League Baseball. We've been over this. I don't want to get into baseball really with this, because, you know, it is what it is with the Cardinals and so forth. But, you know, if you're in the bubble system, it works. You know, it works. And that's really what we found out, or what's been proven. And why the NBA would want to go out and tinker with this for the playoffs, I know that some players may want, you know, somebody to be there. It's just, to me, it's you're messing with something that, you know, is working. And I've always said there's always a great expression: if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah. So just leave it the way it is. And, you know, I'm really shocked that the NBA is actually going and allowing some of these other people to come in and enter the bubble. So
I'm still laughing at that receiver for Seattle who decided to sneak out and bring somebody back to his hotel.
Well, she was dressed like somebody that worked there.
She was dressed.
Shane,
really?
Shane is talking about cornerback Kamaz Silverman.
Yes.
Yeah, Kamaz.
Yes. Yeah.
Who's now unemployed.
Exactly. you know, that's how strictly the NFL has taken this. I mean,
that's how everybody should.
Yeah, absolutely. Cannot.
Yeah, but kids are kids. Kids are kids. I'm actually shocked that we're not talking about 20 or 30 instances of these. So, I mean,
but then this is where it comes down to the organizations and saying, listen, you do this, you're gone. And this is what they did. So, I mean, it's
How about the Cleveland Indians and the fact that, they have a player went out and you have the players policing themselves. So, you have that old circus going on right now with Terry Francona and all that. So,
and Marlins did a good job when they started it too. Right.
You know
what I mean? Oh, yeah.
Like I said, to me, it all came down to the same thing of saying, listen, you need to sign this that states you are not leaving, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. If so, this is the ramifications. But that would be then what I would call good leadership and ownership. But we don't have that in some of those sports.
Of course. I like the players, though, Shane, actually saying, you know, you go out, you're busting, Kirby, you're doing this, and you're busting out that this isn't right because I don't want to get the virus. I don't want my family getting the virus. Mm. And you got the players sort of, I don't want to say blackballing the players, but it's like, you know, okay, we're going to out you pretty good here if you break it at this point.
Well, the other thing that goes along with that, Jeff, is we've seen what's happened to the Phillies. We've seen what happened to the Marlins. We've seen what happened to other teams. It's like, wait a minute, you go out and now we could get shut down for a week. We could get shut down for 2 weeks. For something that I'm doing the right thing. I'm obeying the rules. I'm trying to social distance, wearing the mask. I'm doing what Major League Baseball asked of me. I'm doing the right thing. And you're going to go out and you're going to be stupid and you're going to cost us 14 days when we can make the playoffs or we can have a good season. And now you just cost us that because you wanted to go out and have a good time. No, these rules are in place for a reason. I'm doing my share. All these other guys are doing what they're supposed to do, and you're going to be an idiot and do that? No, we're going to call you out. you know, when you don't obey the rules. And I think he should have been called out.
You know, here's the other thing. I was reading a tweet yesterday, and it was like, well, all these St. Louis Cardinal players now are going to be taking rental cars individually to get to Chicago to play the White Sox this weekend. And you had, you know, this tweet while it's saying, well, they're going to bring back Jose Oquendo to be the third base be the third base coach. And you had somebody tweet back, no, they may bring back Jose Oquendo to play third base.
Yeah. There you go.
So it's like, you know what? But you know what? I had this vision of all these rental cars sort of pulling up to the hotel, you know, of like 50 or 60 rental cars because they have to go individually. I mean, this is how crazy baseball has become at this point. The fact that in order to get players from point A to point B, they all have to take their own individual rental cars to get there. I mean, this is
That's good for the environment, I'm sure.
Well, it is. You know, yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, Jeff.
As long as they're Teslas. As long as they're Teslas.
As long as they're Teslas, for guys. Yes.
Well, Jeff, since you brought up baseball, we'll end the show on that one. What do you think about JT Realmuto? Phillies are struggling to say, to put it, you know, nicely. Do you think Realmuto comes back? What do you think is going through Realmuto's mind right now?
Well, if I was Realmuto right now and I'm looking at the Phillies, I'm saying I want to get the heck out of there. I don't think that, you know, if another team offers me similar money or more money, I'm going to that other place. The only thing that might keep me there is my relationship with Bryce Harper or some of the other players on the team. But other than that, you know, he's going to get paid. I mean, you said it before. This guy is going to get paid a boatload of money. Hey, you know, the owner of the Phillies put his mouth out there a while back when he said, I want to spend stupid money. Well, guess what? He has an opportunity right now to spend some of that stupid money. Does Middleton, and you know, everybody says he's made of money, and you know, he wants to be George Steinbrenner, and he wants to do all these things. Well, here's your opportunity to do that and to go out there and pay, you know, one of the better players in baseball in JT Realmuto and give him a big contract. Now, the downside of that is if you pay JT that amount of money, the amount of money that he's going to want, you're going to have two guys on that roster making an obscene amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
And what are you going to be paying? And your bullpen is a load of crap, to put it mildly. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, you have the worst bullpen in baseball by far because, you know, you just can't pay everybody on the roster. So this is the weak link on the Phillies is their bullpen, and it's really, really getting exposed right now for this season. And, you know, look, I mean, they're 5-9 right now, staring at 5-10 tonight with Jacob DeGrom on the mound as we tape this on Friday. So this is going to be, you know, this is just a disaster of a season right now for the Phillies, outside of the performance right now of Realmuto and Bryce Harper. And the fact that we've seen some pretty nice debuts. Obviously, finally, the Phillies have brought up their top prospects to play. So we'll see what they produce in the coming in the last month and a half of the season.
I think you have to go out and whatever it takes, you have to re-sign Realmuto, because what do you have behind him? They have a decent, I think, catcher at the AAA level, but they painted themselves in the corner.
You're trapped. Yep.
When they traded Alfaro for him and got rid of some of their better prospects you traded a bolo for JT.
Because the idea was you're going to build your you traded a bolo for JT, so you knew you're going to build your team around Harper and Realmuto. That was the idea that the Phillies had. You have to pay him now.
Yeah, and I think that goes along with it is the fact that you don't have much behind him. He is one of the leaders on your team. He is why Wheeler signed with you. The fans love JT, so I think it would be a huge miscalculation if they let JT go. But
plus the fact you'd anger Bryce Harper, who is Mr. Philly, right? Plus you'd anger Harper right now.
But I do think that You know, JT, it's not a foregone conclusion that JT leaves, because he's gone through that, you know, that drudgery, that slogging through with the Florida Marlins. He's been around different managers. I think he really likes the managerial stylings of Joe Girardi. So I think he likes Bryce Harper. It's just, you know, and he loves the fans of Philadelphia. So I think it's not a foregone conclusion that he leaves, because he knows what it's like on the other side. So I think the Phillies can re-sign JT.
Middleton has a backup that Brinks truck, Jay. Backup, yes. The Brinks truck.
Exactly, because he is the best free agent on the market, bar none. And any team that's looking for a catcher that has money to burn is going to make an offer for JT. And I think it's criminal that they haven't at least begun the contract negotiations with him, because the tweets that I've been seeing, there has been no communication, no formal offer made to JT to begin the conversation. So I think that's kind of criminal that they haven't done that with JT, because JT's open to it right now. He'll listen to an offer. He'll have back and forth negotiations. So I think the Phillies, Middleton better get on his horse and figure some things out. Absolutely.
But it's nice to see Boehm. It's nice to see, you know, these rookies come up, Howard and Bob. It's nice to see these guys come up and get there and get into the action right yep. now. Aside from JT, it's nice to see these guys finally come up. I think these guys are going to be great additions to the team. Hopefully, you know, they leave them alone and they're in the lineup. I think both these guys are going to be excellent, excellent players for this franchise going forward. So, it's something for fans obviously to look forward to, both from the pitching side with Howard and as well as with Boehm with the on the offensive side.
Oh yeah, and I think Velasquez, leave him in the bullpen, let him work some things out there. Go with Howard, Spencer Howard, as your fifth starter. Let him develop and see what happens from there. Absolutely. But this has been a great show. There's a lot of topics we weren't able to get into.
We didn't even get into college football and the fact that all these major conferences canceled their seasons. I mean, and that affects the NFL, because that affects the draft and so forth. Because, you know, once you have the Big right. Ten, the Pac-10, and all these conferences canceling, that's going to be tough going forward for the NFL and for these players. Because I'm wondering right now, I mean, do they redshirt? Do they get another year? I mean, do they get another year of eligibility? What goes on here as far as the NCAA goes? There's going to be a lot of questions that are going to have to be answered.
They're going to go to the XFL.
That could be. and play for The Rock, you know. That's right. You know, play for The Rock, you know, because the XFL's coming back. We know that. It's not going away. But, yeah, I mean, the Big Ten, their season's postponed. Pac-12 postpones their season. I mean,
Big East is postponed there.
Big East.
Yep.
Yeah, you wanted to get into Ohio State, Jay. Yeah, I don't know who they're going to – I don't know if they're going to blame Trump or not. I know that was one of your questions.
Yeah.
They're, it's funny. A lot of those states affected, you know, are Trump states. A lot of these that love football, Ohio obviously being one of them.
Yep. So, Shane, can you let everybody know how they can find you on your website and social media?
Yeah, I can be reached at www.mentaledgeperformance.ca as well as mental_edge_performance on my social media. It's been a great time, guys. Thank you very much. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend, and we'll see what happens with those Flyers. But, yes, I think next week we need to talk a little bit about those the Big Ten and 12 and everything like this, because that's a lot that's going to be happening in this upcoming week from what I've been told as well.
Absolutely. And we want to encourage everybody to like, follow, and share on our social media sites, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe, everyone. We'll see you right here again next week on the Sports Skiller Radio Show on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey.
They add flavor you won't find anywhere else. Join Sports Skillets,
Jay,
Jeff,
and Kelly every Sunday, 11 a.m. on 920 a.m. The Jersey. Local sports, national sports, with a flavor you'll love. Get ready to taste some Sports Skillets.